Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, 7:07 on a Tuesday.
Booty time. Well done.
Sam McEwen's coming up bottom of the hour. Bill O'Brien, not a surprise, is about to be named the new offensive coordinator under Bill Belichick. So he's going back to New England. That means Nick Saban will be looking for an OC. Enough of a stretch to think. And I'm probably going to make some Iowa fans happy. Oh. So Bill O'Brien and Brian Ferentz have a connection.
Yeah.
So Brian Ferentz started as an offensive quality control coach with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And then he was, with the help of Bill O'Brien, who has been pretty instrumental in the Ferentz family, helped Brian Ferentz become the tight ends coach. Am I crazy to think that if you're trying to get Brian Ferentz out, Bill O'Brien could save Iowa football?
Isn't this the, I don't want to say a rumor, but isn't this even kind of the discussion? And I've heard this from people that I've talked to that are with the Iowa media that have always suggested there could be kind of a send you along your way sort of golden parachute type opportunity of it doesn't come off as a firing. It doesn't even come across as a, you know, it's best for us and for you to part ways or stepping down. It comes across as a, you know what, Brian was presented with an opportunity that really aligns with his future goals. So he's going to go pursue that. We love Brian. And of course, we would have loved to keep him around, but this is the opportunity that he wants for his next challenge in life.
We wish him well in his future.
And so there was always that narrative from people that I really do trust that follow Iowa football, that cover Iowa football, that said that would be more likely than a straight up, we are parting ways with Brian Ferentz because of his ties to the NFL, because he's got a presence there as well. So this would be, if I'm an Iowa fan and I want Brian Ferentz out of town, this, what you just laid out right there, this would be the one to watch for without question.
Well, there's another part of this is Iowa has a guy on their staff who is an offensive analyst, played football at Wisconsin, that they think is an offensive mastermind, and he's a young guy, and John Buttemeyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he is on their staff right now, and you know, could he be elevated?
Yeah.
We will see. I think this is something to keep an eye on.
Totally agree.
Because of Bill O'Brien's connection to the Ferentz family.
Real quickly.
But he's going to be the OC under Bill Belichick.
You and I haven't had this conversation during the coaching search. Before, of course, Nebraska landed on Matt Rhule. Where were you on Bill O'Brien? Did you think that he would eventually be a college head football coach in this cycle?
Okay. Nope.
I did. Initially, I had him on there. But you always, when you kind of look a little bit closer to the situation, you kind of look at where he was from, going back to Alabama, what he's able to accomplish, and what he was able to kind of, again, take in from Nick Saban. As we got closer and closer to not just the Nebraska job, but other jobs being filled, and you just never heard his name, that wasn't because people weren't interested in him. That, to me, was his representation shutting that down. I just don't think he was interested. I don't think it was college football head coach jobs or vacancies that he was interested in. And as we got maybe a month out, I started thinking to myself, yeah, you know what? I had him pegged as a guy that, you know, could definitely be on the list for Nebraska, but I don't think he wants to be a college football coach.
It was a reach for Nebraska. I mean, because everybody's trying to connect things.
Yeah.
And the only connection was Trev Alberts and Bill O'Brien were in Atlanta at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was never going to be happening. No, I never Never. He had his time in college. He's good in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think, you know,
people forget that
you know what? He didn't have a bad run at Houston until they gave him way too much power.
Exactly.
And then he was accumulating the roster and he was coaching the roster.
Right.
Yeah.
Just as a coach and what he did. I mean, people forget how many playoff appearances Houston had under his watch.
So he's in a good role. I mean, that's a good hire for Belichick. That's like a no-brainer hire.
Yep.
All right, here is to kick off the hour, Random Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Scott Rowe, and if you want to get something you enjoy, if you're a baseball person, watch defensive highlights for Scott Rowe. And how big was this guy?
I was about 6'3".
Yeah, big dude.
That's a large individual.
Yep.
And you know, when I call these shows, it's mostly BS. I don't know what I'm talking about, but there's one exception. It's the split step. Listeners know I've called our baseball coaches, begging them to do it. This is what the great tennis players do, all of them, to get a great jump. But it works in volleyball. Think of Michaela Fecky getting 29 digs against Penn State. Watch her feet. Watch Roland's feet. When they show the defensive highlights, they'll show these unbelievable plays, but then they'll show a different angle where you can see what they're doing with their feet, and he does the tennis footwork. When a large individual gets a great jump, watch out. And just on that alone, what does that stand for?
Wins above replacement. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. You mentioned it with O'Brien. Bases loaded, one out. Okay, hard ground ball down the third baseline. That could be the equivalent of a three-run homer, or if you got a great third baseman, it's a double play. This guy did it repeatedly. Plus, he was a really good offensive player. So watch that. He deserves the Hall of Fame. Take care, guys.
Mike, thanks for the call. At the beginning of his career, he was healthy, so you would get him for 150-plus games.
Mm-hmm.
But when he hit about age 30, injuries started to pile up. But that 8-year sample size at the beginning of his career, it's worthy enough to open Cooperstown for him. I mean, he had his peak years were 97 to that 04 season, which was his best when he was with St. Louis.
Yeah.
When he tore it up. But I mean, he was at least a 25 homer, 100 RBI guy. There's very few guys over that extended period of time of about 8-9 years consistently have done that. He's going to get into the Hall of Fame. When I initially watch him, and my standards are probably pretty high, I don't immediately go Hall of Famer.
No, I agree.
But then you stop and you look at his numbers and you go, okay, compared to who is in the Hall of Fame,
right.
Yes, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It's
just a case
if he will get to 75%, because I don't necessarily know that's a good thing for Cooperstown if Fred McGriff is the only one going in. And that's not on Fred McGriff. It's on the future and how we look at the Baseball Hall of Fame. This used to be a big day. Now, in the world of baseball, it's a big day. But for everybody, this used to be like, okay, spring training's right around the corner. They're going to announce who's going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it has less of a, hey, this is the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody stopped us and said, hey, you know what? Is Roland going to get in today? Is Helton going to get in? How many votes do you think Billy Wagner will get? Hey, what's Beltran going to look like? What do you think Bonds will happen to him? You just, unless you're watching MLB Network, you're not getting that. But I don't think it's a good thing if only Fred McGriff goes in, because the Baseball Hall of Fame, of how you feel about who's in and who's not in and how it's voted on, the museum and in Cooperstown itself is not doing well. The attendance is way down. It's in a remote part, even though it is a fabulous, incredible experience in Cooperstown, New York. It's not doing well. And so they need good attention towards it.
Yeah.
So because it'll only be negative if it's just Fred McGriff. Okay, first time in 10 years that nobody is going in, and we're going to do it again next year. And, you know, they're not buoyed by a great first-year ballot, guys. There's nobody that blows you away. You know, John Lackey is not going, hey, John Lackey,
well,
Hall of Famer.
Think when Jeter went in. Like, that's all you needed.
And unfortunately, Jeter was going to go in, and they would have had the largest crowd probably ever to go see the induction. And I went the year that George Brett got in. And you had, I mean, look up who went in with Brett. I mean, you had
pretty good class.
Nolan Ryan and Robin Yount.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was an unbelievable crowd.
And Nolan and Robin
were cordial. When Jeter was going to go in, they would have had an all-time record, a Yankee going into Cooperstown in upstate.
Yeah.
And that was the COVID year. So they couldn't, you know, and then when they had his ceremony, they had a limited crowd. So Cooperstown needs as much positive stuff as they can get. And nobody joining McGriff, I think, would be bad for Cooperstown.
Yeah, baseball world representative and featured speaker of the Tommy Mansky baseball video. Fred McGriff is probably not, if you're going solo, is not the solo headliner. And I don't even know, I mean, if it's Fred McGriff and Roland, let's say you get Wagner, like even the combination of the three, there's not enough oomph. And that's to me, that is not trying to disrespect their careers. And to even get into the debate of whether they're Hall of Fame worthy or not, because again, I think it's such an arbitrary conversation because everybody has different standards. And we all also know how the voting does take place. But to your point about trying to gain more momentum in Cooperstown, even three of those guys, you know, headlined by Fred McGriff, still is a bit underwhelming given their careers. They were not, you know, first ballot, no-brainer. The only question is, are they going to be, you know, unanimously voted in type guys? They're guys that have had to kind of pay their dues, wait their time, get above that 75% threshold and get in. That's usually not going to move the needle to the casual baseball fan.
Now, the guy that is on the ballot right now that I think is who? I mean, Carlos Beltran was the best center fielder of his era. He's not getting in this year. I think eventually he'll get in.
I don't think Andrew Jones is getting in either.
And Andrew Jones is, I mean, Andrew Jones defensively is one of the better center fielders that played in a long time.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not certain that anybody's getting in with McGriff today. You know, they do keep most voters will publish their votes.
Yeah.
And Roland is going to need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And so is Todd Helton. And I think Billy Wagner will eventually get in of what his role was and how that role as a closer has changed in baseball.
I think Helton will. I don't think it's this time though.
Again, this is a good, not great.
Yeah.
Part of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think Fred McGriff is kind of the lead example of this, of what we're talking about here. Of, you know him, you know what he's about. You look at the numbers, you're like, pretty solid. But then if you look at comps, if you look at some of the other players that have gotten in over times, especially if you're looking at comparisons to positions and whatnot, is it Hall of Fame worthy? I mean, that's the difference. I mean, between what should be enshrined compared to people that we casually have a conversation about, be like, yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, there is a big difference there. That's where I don't want to see the coming years, because we know Bonds and Clemens, despite what you think about them, when you watch them play, you're like, yeah, that's different. That's special, regardless of what they may or may not have been on. Fred McGriff, it's like, yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I would probably have my son try to mimic the fundamentals of this player, that player. But did it stand out amongst its peers to where you're like, that's different, that's special, that should be enshrined, that career should be enshrined? I can't say that about any of these guys.
I would like, though, when the crime dog goes in, that, you know, everybody dresses up.
The hat.
Yeah, just
the baseball world hat.
Wear the baseball world hat and the T-shirt with back-to-back AAU national champion. Yeah,
that's why I give it my full endorsement.
All right, Sam McEwen's coming up here in a little bit. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.